Hey, welcome to a special edition of the Upland Nation podcast. I'm Scott Linden, your host. Man, is it crazy out there? And that's the whole point. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the whole world of COVID-19, coronavirus, because there are some things that are really important to you and me as bird hunters and bird dog owners. And the point of this podcast and perhaps some other information to come down the road. I hope you will tell your friends and share this information, share the podcast, and spread the word, if you will. We're outfitted by Cabela's, as usual, and for this special edition of the Upland Nation podcast, I'll be foregoing all the usual features that we do. You will always get those on your Thursday editions, but for this special one, trying to keep it concise, keep it brief, that sort of thing. So let's jump right into it and see what we can learn. And just bear in mind, of course, that no matter what you learn today, it may be different tonight and tomorrow and next week and all the way into July and August, based on what I've learned as of today. You know, this all started because I was making plans to go to the local sportsman show last weekend, and poof, all of a sudden, the governor shut her down. Among other things, you can't even go to your favorite bar or tavern anymore if there's more than 50 people in there, and that'll probably shrink down to 5 any minute now. That's why I'm laying in my own supply. But not to make too much light of it, but we got it. You know, we got to remember that there's a little bit of hysteria attached to all this, whether it's hoarding toilet paper or, you know, whatever else is going on, closing schools. So let's inject a little bit of reality and a few facts here and there, and hopefully you'll come away from this podcast a little bit more informed. All right, what can we do? What do we know? What can we make educated guesses about? I went to some of the contacts I have in the industry, some leaders, some insiders. The upshot about all of that, maybe more about supply chain issues than anything else, and we'll get to those, in fact, with a special guest on the podcast very soon. But bottom line, if you are concerned, well, use common sense, take whatever precautions you think are important, and then carry on, as they say. All right, we'll get into the meat of it in just a moment. Let me remind you that thanks to folks like Sage and Breaker, you can hear these kind of updates on a regular basis here at the Upland Nation podcast. They are now taking orders on their gun cleaning mats. I watched the last one walk away from the Pheasant Fest booth a while back. So if you want one of those really cool gun cleaning mats, whether it's for your long guns or your handguns, go to sageandbreaker.com and make your advance order now. And thank you to Dogtra as well, my training collar of choice. You'll get yourself a nice discount if you use the code SLUN10 on any product over $200. All right, so here we are, COVID-19, the coronavirus. What does it mean to you and me? Well, it means carry on, don't do anything stupid, and wash your hands, dang it. If you do those things, you're probably going to be just fine. But there are some other general bits of advice that I've pulled together that might be of value to you, primarily just to keep your eyes open and your ears peeled. State parks in many areas are starting to close, and in fact, in one place, they're using some of the structures there to quarantine some of their coronavirus patients. So if you've got a trip planned, whether it's now or down the road, you might want to check ahead and make sure that they're still allowing it. Boy, I just heard something about closing beaches. If they start closing beaches, then we all got to worry about closing wildlife refuges and that sort of thing. The sports show I alluded to closed. Many others are closed as well. Unfortunately, on top of everything else, I mean, some of those show special deals have been missed. I will suggest that a lot of that will come back online. And so keep your eyes peeled if you're looking for something in particular there in the way of a trip or a booking or even gear for those sportsman's show specials. The NRA annual meetings, down the toilet. The inaugural Ducks Unlimited Expo in May and the ICAST show in July, the Hunter's Extravaganza in August. They're all down and maybe will be rescheduled. I'll have you more information as it develops. One of the big ones around here, I have friends that will likely be on the Olympic shooting team. They have no idea. Now, the Tokyo organizers say that that is a go, that it is way, way too big to cancel. We'll wait and see on that one. So don't hit your DVR buttons quite yet. One of the other things that really bothers me is if we start talking about restricting people getting together in one way or another, that means hunting and training areas and club events and that sort of thing might be restricted, whether voluntarily or simply by a federal agency locking the gate to your favorite dog training area. It is a possibility. So again, plan ahead. All right. How about your dog? You know, this is something we got to get a little bit more concerned with than I've seen so far. So I've dug a little bit into some of this, and it might be of value to you to just listen up a little bit and maybe take proper precautions where necessary. Remember, all of this may have started at what they call a wet market in China. That's where they sell live animals that ultimately get rendered down into food. And some of those animals are canines, and some of those other animals are animals that prey or are prey for canines. So there hasn't been a lot of research yet. The World Health Organization says there is no reported case of coronavirus in domestic animals. Interestingly, there was one Chinese dog that tested positive, but it was what they call a weak positive, and it has since recovered, such as it is. So we will see about that. Again, just make sure that you are monitoring the news, sifting out the baloney, and getting to the nuggets that are actually factual and delivered by people who know what they're talking about. It is a respiratory virus, and dogs are susceptible to respiratory viruses just like we are, and a lot of them are the same. The same germs, if you will, can affect a dog and can affect a person. I'll get more on the opposite side of the equation later on in the podcast, and that's a good chance to remind you you're listening to the Upland Nation podcast. I'm Scott Linden, your host, special edition on the whole coronavirus and how it is relevant to you and me. At the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine, Shelley Rankin, a professor there, says there's no research supporting human to animal spread at this time. But as I said earlier, cats and dogs are mammals, and so are we. They have many of the same types of receptors on their cells that we do, so theoretically, it's not impossible. Would it enter a dog's cells and replicate? Dr. Rankin says, probably not. But if you are infected, limit contact with your pet. Wash your hands, don't let them lick you on the face. Goes without saying, don't lick them on the face. If the virus is in anything that you secrete, and there's any potential of transmission, those are the ways it's going to happen, just like with people. Now, the question then becomes, if you have people in the same house that are quarantined and you are not, and you have a pet, can your pet shuffle between one and the other? Certainly not. As a result of that, probably very, very slight chance of transference. And what should we be doing right now, according to Dr. Rankin, to protect our pets? Plan ahead. If you get sick and are quarantined, make sure your dog is taken care of. Make sure you have enough pet food on hand. Make sure somebody can take care of that dog if you are unable to. For example, if you are hospitalized. All right, so the big question becomes, and I'll tell you why in a moment, what about our dog food supply? Lots of questions in that one, and I'm going to get to some of them right now. Purina says 99% of their Purina pet food products sold in the U.S. are made in the U.S. in company-owned facilities. The vast majority of ingredients used in Purina products are made in the U.S. All right, remember back to that last tragic incident where melamine from China got into all sorts of dog foods and killed thousands of dogs. Well, haven't gotten any response to Purina when I ask if they use any Chinese products at all in their dog food, so I can't tell you one way or the other. Purina spokesperson Chelsea Robinson goes on to say, it's important to know that coronaviruses need a living host to grow in so that they cannot grow in a processed or a raw ingredient. They're also unlikely to survive for long on any surface. I'm feeling pretty good all of a sudden. Hey, thanks, Chelsea. She also says studies on past coronaviruses show that thermal processing, i.e. cooking, renders viruses inactive. So once they've cooked that pet food or your pet treat, it would inactivate the virus. Well, if you're a paranoid pet owner like I am, that means no raw food in our house for a while. Okay, so hopefully that will set your mind a bit at ease in that regard. Looks like the dog food supply is probably nowhere near as vulnerable as it used to be, and I guess we should thank our lucky stars for that. Another one high on my list is gear. And if you think about it in the broadest sense of the term, and my upcoming guest will elaborate on this, I'm sure, much of the stuff that we buy, much of the stuff that we own and use while hunting and training dogs comes from overseas. Whether it's an Italian shotgun or a Korean training collar, it is all coming from somewhere else for the most part. I shouldn't generalize that much, but I am going to. It comes from somewhere else. Some of those places are basically closed for business, Italy being one of them. If the shutdowns that are taking place in Chinese manufacturing ultimately end up taking place in Italy, whether or not you're going to get your new Benelli or Beretta anytime soon is a big question. Now, I don't just speculate on that. I asked both of those companies for comment, and neither of them got back to me. Maybe I'll hear from them later today, and we'll be able to update you on that. But at this point, it just seems logical that there will be a slowdown, and it will probably affect some of our gear. All right, so here we are. One thing that I kicked around for a while and we'll discuss again momentarily with our guest is that whether or not your shotgun comes from Italy or your dog collar comes from Korea, some of the bits and pieces inside there may have come from somewhere else. And whether or not that country is still delivering on manufactured goods at the rate that they were before this whole kerfuffle started, maybe a question that we'll have to answer down the road. All right. So I promised a guest. His name is Steve Snell. You know him as GundogSupply.com. Friend of the show, friend of our industry, friend of our sport. Let's go to the phones. And, you know, let's just jump right in. This is, okay. You know, granted, everything may change later today, for all we know. But at this point in time, how are you guys coping over there with the wackiness of what I'll just loosely refer to as the supply chain?
Sure. You know, we've been looking at it for a while already. Prior to what's been going on the last week or so, you know, we knew there were going to be issues going forward, and so we've been in communication with all of our major suppliers as far as stuff, especially the stuff that's made in China. And right now, we feel like everybody's in pretty good shape going into at least May or June. There's no question that there'll be some hiccups, that's to be expected, and it's going to be expected in a lot of industries. You've just got so many components, even for stuff that's made in other parts of the world, so much stuff comes out of China. And them being shut down for as long as they were, it's going to be a problem, for everybody, but not something that's going to happen today.
You mentioned something in our offline conversation yesterday or the day before, actually, about how this may actually become a little bit of a boon to some folks in that some production may come back to the United States from overseas.
Yeah, we've I guess if you want to look at from a positive standpoint, you know, that is something I've already talked to several companies that are looking at that right now. Now, whether or not that'll be a permanent change going forward, but I, you know, we've always tried to have stuff that was made in the USA, which has been harder. It's getting easier, but it's been hard over the last 20 years, maybe more, you know, to find high quality stuff that's made in the U.S. Just because the limited of folks that are doing it. And there's no question there's been a trend. And our customers, it's a giant thing for us. If you look on our website, we have a very, you know, we like to be real specific about where our stuff is made, because the majority of my customers are looking for American-made products. We're actually, you know, we're steering more toward a manufacturer model. We're making a lot of the stuff that we sell now and trying to make a lot more of it. And at one point, I was looking at having some stuff sourced, you know, overseas, but I'm really trying not to. You know, I prefer to have everything made here if I can, which is challenging, but it's definitely something that we would like to do, and my customers would prefer.
Well, good for you, and good luck on that, and yeah. Hopefully there will be a positive to this at some point in time.
Sure.
You know, if you've been in a grocery store lately, you know what the shortages look like. Anybody who's got toilet paper for sale, please send a couple rolls my way. But is there any reason for us to be stocking up, and I'm going to use the word hoarding, anything in particular on the dog and the dog training and the dog care side? Should we be concerned about this, or is this just all a big hysteria?
Well, I don't think, you know, you got to be careful, and I have a tendency to at least add some humor into it, you know, but you have to be careful about that and how you approach it. My answer to that is going to be, you know, no, in that, you know, there's not a problem today, and the majority of the stuff that we sell is not, you know, it's not life dependent for anybody. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's just not an issue. I do believe that this is a great time for people to stop and evaluate, you know, what they have. We're going to have some of us, you know, are going to have more free time than we're used to. And, you know, and it's a good time to stop. I did some of that this weekend. I, you know, spent some time and went through my gear a little more carefully and thought about some of the stuff that I have and I don't have. You know, we're a long way off from the fall, which is when we always get those last minute, I'm leaving for a hunting trip tomorrow, you know, got to have it, should have ordered it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe anybody should, you know, nobody should be hoarding anything right now, you know, for starters, but you know, I don't believe there's an issue with that. If you need something now, buy it now. If you're going to need something in the fall, start thinking about it a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
that would be my stance.
And that,
there shouldn't be any panic shopping in the dog world right now.
Yeah.
That's just not something that people need to be doing.
And we'll be talking with others about the dog food side,
sure.
which might be the closest thing to something we want to worry about. But that's for somebody else in that world.
Yeah. Same thing there. I don't think, you know, I think folks should think a little bit ahead, but not, you know, I buy by the pallet, so I have a lot, but I have a lot of dog's feet too. So,
yeah, you've got a more unique problem than we do. Yes, it's a virus. There are things we can do. We wash our hands. We do all those other things that they tell us to do. Although they may tell us more things or things to stop doing soon. Anything that you have in your product selection that might be of value to those of us who keep dogs?
You know, from what I understand, and this is most of this comes from the CDC, but there is not, you know, there's not an issue with human dog or human animal transmission. And so, you know, so I don't think that's a gigantic concern. We do have a product, called a WYSIWASH. That the manufacturer has put out a statement on what it, you know, it is a disinfecting product that's chlorine based. I use them in my kennels. They work really well. My understanding is that there is a statement, an article on the WYSIWASH as far as that it will kill the coronavirus. But I don't think that's something that, you know, that folks from a dog standpoint, I don't think you need to be, you know, You should be cleaning and disinfecting your kennels anyway. And this is a great product for it, but it is not something that people need to be, you know, purchasing for their, you know, for their home situation. That's just not, that's not something out there. You know, it's a great product, and we tend to push it this time of the year, but we actually backed off a little bit because, you know, I somebody who's been through a couple of natural disasters, my house got flooded as a child, in 79 and 83. So I'm a little sensitive too, and I live in Tornado Alley, and, you know, we were just a little north of Katrina. So, you know, we've seen a lot of this kind of stuff, and it's normal for people to be in a panic when things are not going the way that they, you know, normally do. But it's definitely not something that it's not really the product. You're better off with, you know, soap and water and, you know, washing your hands.
Yeah. The analogy I'm thinking is plywood in a hurricane. And, we want to be a little careful about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And good.
Well, you know, you mentioned something in an email exchange earlier that I think is really important, and it's going to be harder and harder as this thing goes on for at least for a while. And that is, all right, what if I can't go down, you know, should I be buying my stuff from Steve and from Amazon and all those guys, or should I be going down to my local supplier for some of this stuff? And, I guess that's a dynamic situation, but you mentioned that, you know, sometimes shopping local is a good idea. And There is something in that.
I grew up as a retailer, so I'm used to, you know, for me nowadays to actually have, you know, we really don't have where we're located. We don't have an enormous amount of walk-in business. And, but I grew up, you know, in that, you know, as a retailer. And so supporting your local businesses is really important. Now, a lot of the stuff that we sell, you can't buy locally. It's specialty style products, which, you know, which is fine. But yeah, folks need to do as best they can. You know, they need to support the folks that are around them, as best they can. And so, mail order places are going to be here, and we'll ship to, you know, we'll keep shipping as long as they let us keep shipping. And so, no plans on changing there, but if you can buy something local, sure, you should. No
right on. Steve Snell with Gundog Supply. It's always good to talk with you.
Yes,
sir. Even in these times, which are just wacky, and appreciate your feedback. So thanks a bunch.
I tell you, the biggest thing that folks need to take this as is this is a great time to spend time with your kids and spend time with your dogs. And so I really expect anybody that has excuses for not getting their spring training done, now would be the time to get on that spring training. You know, that's what I did yesterday.
Yeah.
And so keep that in mind that besides that, it'll make you feel better.
Yeah. So, now, after I shovel all the snow.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There you go.
All right, man. Hey, thanks again, Steve. Well, good talking with you.
Thanks, Scott.
Bye-bye.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. And to add a little bit of insult to injury, one of the things that has already happened in China and will probably happen somewhere else, if you sign contracts every once in a while, you'll see the term force majeure. It's a French term that basically says, hey, if Mother Nature did it, then we're not responsible. We're not obligated to fulfill our contract with you. Many American companies have contracts with Chinese companies, Italian companies, Turkish companies, Korean companies. It doesn't matter. All of those companies are probably going to consider that force majeure option as well. Whether it holds up in court or not is probably academic, because it will be so long before any of that arrives to a trial that it's really going to be a more direct and deleterious effect to those of us on the consumer end. Talk to the National Shooting Sports Foundation. My friends over there say, yes, some distributors are allotting some ammunition shipments. In other words, they're already kind of rationing ammo. It's not going to be like the dark days of the 22 long rifle shortage years ago, but it could be weird if nothing else. Multiple media reports, they tell us, about runs on ammunition. No production shortages or outages, but runs on them, kind of the toilet paper effect, I guess. All right, we got a lot more to talk about here on the Upland Nation podcast, special edition Coronavirus Volume 1. So if you'll hold on through this brief intermission and pay attention to the commercial messages, my sponsors will be happy and so will I. The first one is for my good friend, Dr. Tim Hunt. His company is called Dr. Tim's Dog Food, DRTIMS.com is the website. Just a reminder that for 30% off, it might be worth looking at your first order. Use the code UPLANDNATION for 30% off your first order. One of the reasons I like Dr. Tim's, and I've been feeding it for years, they have their proprietary vitamin blend. They call it OVN, Optimal Vitamin Nutrition. With added biotin and zinc, it offers the essential nutrients to maintain the normal structure and function of skin, paw, and pad health under high-performance conditions. I can relate. It's certainly done some good for Flick's paws. And then ESPAmerica.com. You know, they have custom-molded all sorts of choices when it comes to digital hearing protection devices. And the custom molding is one thing that you can get whether you got to the sports show before they started shutting them down or not. You can go to your nearby local audiologist. They have arrangements with ESPAmerica.com to fit you to the exact shape and size of your ears so those hearing protection devices stay in, whether it's in the field or on the range. Perfect fit means you'll use them, you won't lose them. Learn more at ESPAmerica.com. Okay, well, it's been a wacky week and it will only get wackier, but here we are addressing the coronavirus as it is relevant to hunting dog owners and bird hunters, which reminds me, it's training and testing season. So the big question is, can our training birds carry the coronavirus? We don't know, and there's not a lot of research. It is known that chickens can carry strains of coronavirus, but there's no evidence of U.S. chickens being infected by the COVID-19 strain. Dr. Dora Mills, former director of the Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention, says it's crucial to practice good hygiene. In other words, do the stuff you would probably do in large part to keep human scent off of your practice birds, for example. Wear gloves, wash your hands, probably don't want to inhale a whole bunch of that stuff that's in your pigeon coop. So just be careful. It's also important to be careful because poultry carry all sorts of other dangerous bacteria like Salmonella and Campylobacter. I can't believe I said that right. Hey, woohoo! Anyway, so just don't do anything stupid when it comes to your practice birds. If you can get them, you know, we got a big order at our club right now, a bunch of chuckers coming in a couple weeks, and I wonder if we're even going to be able to get those. I'll talk more about what I mean by that and all the other impingements on our civil liberties in a few minutes. I don't want to go too NRA on you there, but it is something to start thinking about. Okay, how about eating those game birds in your freezer? Ever thought about that? They probably don't have coronavirus because they have probably been sitting in that freezer for a long time. But just in case, as I said earlier, because game birds and domestic versions of them are many virus vectors, there may be a slight risk. If I were me, I ran out already, so I don't have to worry about it. I give most of my game birds away wherever I shoot them. But if I had any left, I'd probably wait until more research was done on animal-to-animal transfer and keep them in the freezer. All right, so here we are. It's testing season. Events and associations Many of the associations that I work with or talk to are making changes in their calendar. The Backcountry Hunters and Anglers have shut down their Missoula headquarters. They're asking their staff to work remotely. I'm sure it's happening, and I'm sure that's happening with any number of other organizations. On the field trial and testing side, those organizations that responded this way. American Field, some regional trials are being canceled. The major circuit field trial season is about to enter the kind of the home stretch. They will keep you posted. I would check my website daily. I would not count on them being able to get you a special email, so I'd be on the website whenever I needed to know. The American Kennel Club says local clubs are the best determiners of whether an event should be canceled or delayed. Many of the events that have been pulled off the calendar are confirmation, agility, and obedience, but there have been a few hunt tests on the calendar that I noticed were canceled already. Maybe the worst news out of that will be that you can't get a refund in most cases. The National Shoot to Retrieve Association has decided as of today, and again, that may change tomorrow or next week, not to cancel many events. The national trial in Amo, Indiana at the end of April, everybody's already registered. A lot of them have made plans to travel there. The organization will wait until the end of the month to make that decision. Regional level field trials are still going on as of last week in Utah, the week before in Oklahoma and Colorado. We'll see how the rest of those go based on whatever happens in the next couple days. I'll hope to keep you apprised one way or another. Cody Bull over at the North American Hunting Retriever Association says the board of directors is monitoring the situation. They're, again, delegating to their local clubs the decision to cancel events or move forward. Cody points out, like I did earlier, local, federal, and state land management agencies may become the determining factors in that when they shut the gates and put the padlock on. So stay in touch with your local club and then visit your club's national website whenever you can. Yeah, I know there's a lot of wait and see in this report, but I hope that you are understanding the urgency of just that. Keep calm, carry on, and stay informed. Some of the other takeaways from this I'll get to in just a few moments, but first, yes, I still have to pay the bills, and one of those bills is paid for by ESPAmerica.com, so please visit them for all your hearing protection needs, because remember, hearing loss is permanent. And of course, my good friends at Gunner Kennels. Learn more about all of their kennels at gunner.com. They're the only double wall, roto-molded crate on the market, heavy duty on purpose for the safety of your dog. They're the only 5-star crash tested kennel according to the Center for Pet Safety Standards. All other crates have failed, but the Gunner Kennel. Learn more about them and their new financing program at gunner.com. And Dogtra, where the TNB Duel is my star training collar. Get 10% off anything over $200. Just use the code SLUN10. And you'll also get free shipping on everything over $200. The TNB Duel requires no toggling back and forth, whether you're using dog A or dog B, or you got both collars on one dog. Two sets of buttons, they're right there in front of you. You can feel them, you don't have to switch anything. No toggling required. A big March bundle deal now on at dogtra.com as well. All right, so here are some of the takeaways that I would suggest that you make. You probably have your own, and you know how to suggest those to me. The Facebook pages of Wing Shooting USA and Upland Nation, the podcast, are good places to carry on this discussion until we meet again on the podcast. If you are looking for a booking, whether you need to book a lodge visit or a guided hunt or something like that, the folks that you were hoping to meet at the Sportsman Show are probably online somewhere. I would work my best to find them and then see what they're doing to make things work for you. I know all of the folks I talked to were most disappointed they weren't able to meet with you at the local sports show here in Bend, Oregon. I'm sure the same is true all over the country. Stay in touch, see what you can do there. Also, do a favor for some of the, let's call them the more wise and experienced members of your dog club. Some of those folks are more vulnerable. Maybe it's time for you to do the grocery shopping or some other way, help them with some of those public contact tasks that they have. Maybe it's something as simple as taking their dog for a walk. Check in and make sure the mentors in our world are being taken care of like they take care of us. If you're a shooter, target shooter, I'd call ahead on the range question because I know that there are a lot of folks out there who are considering all sorts of limitations that may be imposed on the local or the regional level. Our governor just today suggested, not on a legal basis, but on a moral basis, that any gathering of 11 or more people is unacceptable to her. And if, and knowing her, if it's unacceptable, it'll soon be some sort of an emergency law. So call ahead if you're a target shooter. The bottom line is really, if you need to stock up on anything, remember there's other folks just like you out there who may need them as well. So don't buy 14 training collars and then expect to see, a massive profit if that's what your objective is. Karma does work, and it will work eventually on somebody who does try to price gouge. It's not a hurricane, and we don't have plywood. Finally, you and me know how important it is to protect our constitutional rights. It is critically important to be aware of what's going on in that arena right now. Whether it's your right to assemble with 2 people or 102 people, whether your movement is restricted, your ability to shop where you want, your ability as a business person to charge what you want or to pay what you want for goods and services, all of those questions are up in the air right now, and some of those civil rights are being eroded on a day-to-day basis. Be aware of them. I'm not suggesting we put on a ski mask and arm ourselves for the Armageddon, but it is important that we keep our eyeball on all of the things that are important, our health, our constitutional rights, and our ability to exercise those rights down the road, 1 month, 2 months, 5 months, or 6 months down the road. Okay, I appreciate your help. I appreciate your support. And I hope you will tell your friends a little bit more about the Upland Nation podcast, this special edition, and maybe some of the others down the road. And certainly the regular editions where we talk all things bird dogs and bird hunting. Thank you so much. If you do like the podcast, please rate it. I hope you'll give me 5 stars. It does help. Anyway, appreciate your help, and I appreciate your participation, whether it's here at the Wing Shooting USA or the Upland Nation Facebook pages. Be safe. Wash your hands. Do keep calm. Carry on. Don't do anything stupid. I'll see you in the field next fall and in the training field between now and then. I'm Scott Linden, your host. Thanks for listening to this special edition of the Upland Nation podcast.